We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, Adams.
Hey, Devonta, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Mike Clemens.
How did the injury happen in the Lions game? Because I couldn't quite tell. And is this also one of these things where, like, if you feel good, then wait one more week?
Maybe for you, when I feel good, I make it happen. So we'll see.
A little jostling back and forth there with Devonta Adams. Our Mike Clemens joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Maybe
good morning,
for
Mike.
You, old man. Yeah. Well, listen, youngster, I've been doing this a long time, and I know about Dr. Pat Andrews, and I know about hamstrings, and I know that just when the player says, "No, I feel great," okay, great, and we're going to wait one more week, and then you can play. And so he got a little upset before the Falcons game because he thought he was going to go. And like I know, they said, you know what, we're going to wait one more week and you can go into the bye and then you'll be 100% because we need you for the next 12 weeks. And so he got a little angry and sent out that tweet. I didn't actually see it. I mean, he took it down before I saw it in the press box.
Yeah, we saw it live. It was tweeted during one of our shows, and then we went back to look at it, and he deleted it. It just said, I guess I don't know my body as well as other people, something to that extent.
That's right. Yeah. Something like that.
As someone who deletes a lot of tweets, both from his own accord and is told to.
You know where the delete button is.
Yeah, I feel for Devonta on that one.
Yeah, maybe the block button, too. It should be in your future. But anyway, So now he's back out on the practice field yesterday. And, you know, we've been seeing him on the practice field, but running up and down the sidelines. And then when the injury report came out, Devonta Adams listed as full participation. So that would tell you that maybe this is the week. And so, you know, we asked him about the whole situation with the tweet because this is the first time we've gotten a chance to talk to him since that Falcons game. And how's the hamstring feeling now?
Hamstring feels good. I mean, it's not too much to read into it to say I was frustrated. Obviously, I'm a competitor. I think everybody knows that. Everybody knows what I'm about and how I play football. I obviously understand what the club's interest and, everything that goes with it. But, you know, being a competitor, like I said, me being who I am and how I'm wired, even if I'm not 100%, which I said, obviously, at that point, I felt great to play. But even if I'm not 100%, I mean, I've played few football games feeling 100%. So at the end of the day, a lot of that factored into the decision. And then the tweet was taken down because I decided to take it down. Nothing else went into that other than me deciding that, you know, that was the best thing to do. A little frustrated when it happened, obviously, but then decided to take it down just so there was no distractions on game day and my teammates can go out there and take care of business without hearing about, too much extra stuff.
Seemed like not playing him worked. I mean, Julio Jones went out there and now he missed the game. And then Devonta, well, they still threw three touchdowns to Bob Tonyan. Now, that's another guy that Tampa Bay and these other teams have to account for. So I understand he wanted to be out there, but everything it seemed like so far, Mike, we'll see this weekend, but everything so far worked out for the best for everybody.
Right. So now, for going up against the Buccaneers offense, Mike Evans, you know, great receiver, 6'5". You know, one of the reasons that Tom Brady decided to go to Tampa, he's got an ankle, and he missed practice yesterday. I would think he would still try and get on the field for this thing Sunday afternoon. But for the Packers, Kevin King, missing practice yesterday. He's got a quad injury. I saw him during the Falcons game on the sidelines at Lambeau, you know, using one of those heating rollers going up and down, you know, trying to get it back, and then they just took him out of the game. Shannon Sullivan left that game with a concussion. or was being evaluated for one, but he's back on the field, so maybe he would take that corner if Kevin can't go Sunday in Tampa. But, you know, your number one corner is Jaire Alexander. So is he going to cover Evans or, you know, Chris Godwin if he's in there, or Scotty Miller? And, you know, Jaire is, I've talked about him before that, you know, when you talk to him and we do these interviews with him, it doesn't seem like he's got that much to say, but when you hang around him, you just find out that this guy's got all kinds of things going on in terms of clothing and music and what he does for, you know, self-improvement. And so we asked Aaron Rodgers, what does he think about Jaire Alexander, now just 23 years old?
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I really do. And I think he's got a great disposition. I'm not afraid of going up against number one receivers, which can't be said about really every corner maybe that we've had around here. In the past, I'm not talking about Al or Wood, but you know, there's no fear in Ja. I think one of the beautiful things about him as a competitor is that he doesn't have that crippling fear of failure. You know, he just believes that going out and competing and putting his best ball on the field is true success. And I think that's a trait of every great competitor. The other thing I'll say about Ja is he's one of the most interesting players that I've ever been around. I think he is a really curious, fascinating human. He's got a lot of interests outside of the game. We've had a lot of really interesting conversations. I think he's just really smart. You know, he's a fascinating guy. I mean, I enjoy our conversations talking about the books that he's reading or his own mental process, his practice of mindfulness. He's big into meditation. He just has a really good outlook on life. His head is really in the right place, I think, at all times. It allows him to really stay in that flow state and be on point every time he takes a field. I think it's, we're talking about today, me and Mercedes, the difference between players who are maybe confident and those who, you know, have that maybe fear of failure, and it's the ability to quiet your mind, actually, to slow things down, to be more reactive and less thinking. And that's all traits that Jaire has.
Not saying that Rodgers is old. He's my age. But when you are in the league for a long time and then somebody comes in, you know, 12, 13 years younger and just has that kind of confidence and that exuberance, I would imagine it makes him feel a little younger, too, to be around.
Yeah, I think he likes that energy, and that's what you get from those kinds of natural leaders, that charisma, and that guy who, you know, has got a little bit of swagger, because that gets into an opponent's heads. But I thought that was interesting. You know, Rodgers has kind of gone in the last 2 weeks from seriously saying, talking about love and positivity, to being asked, so, you know, you got to stay in Green Bay for your bye, huh? Yeah, it sucks. You know, maybe he's taking a couple of hits now. And now he's calling it like he sees it, you know, which is, we sort of got the old Aaron Rodgers back too. But for him to say, yeah, unlike some other corners we've had here in the past that are intimidated by going up against a number one receiver, you know, that's, he's probably talking about Demaryius Randall and those guys. I don't think Tremont Williams was that way, but you could just say, you know, Al Harris and Charles Woodson aside, we've had to watch a lot of corners rotate through that backfield the last 10 years, and there's a lot of guys that don't know what to do on game day when they've got to go up against a serious wide receiver, even though all these years they've gone against guys like Jordy Nelson and James Jones and now Davante Adams. I mean, they've, you know, they had plenty of competition to practice with to get ready for Sundays.
Well, Devontae's one of them. Aaron Jones, another. These weapons that Rodgers has at his disposal. And that's before we even get into Bob Tonyan and Tyler Irvin, and we'll see what A.J. Dillon can do, Jamal Williams, the different. You could use Sternberger maybe later in the season. This is a pretty, you know, dynamic group of guys that the Packers have on offense.
Yeah, and that was the difference between the Falcons the other night when Julio came off the field and Ridley wasn't probably 100% going into that game. When they went 0-for-5. He went 0-for-5. For receptions because, you know, and Adrian Amos took that ball away from him at the goal line. It could have been a touchdown for the Falcons. You take Davante Adams and Alan Lazard off the field, and you still put up 30 with Robert Tonyan and Jamal Williams. He's wide open in the backfield because they're keying on Aaron Jones, either as a runner or coming out of the backfield for a pass. I mean, it's just amazing all the backup variety of sources that these guys have got to go to right now with that offense. I've never seen that before out of Green Bay. It's all receivers, maybe one decent running back, and that's it. And so I asked David Bakhtiari about that. With this variety of weapons you've got this year, I can't think of that kind of variety and the ball being spread around in recent memory.
For me, looking at this year, the variety on how we've not only schemed up week in and week out with our different weapons that we've had to use, but I think the confidence that we have in them with all 11 of us, trusting each player from protection to quarterback throwing the ball in the right place at the right time to that player catching the ball and making that play on any given situation. I think it creates stress for the defense because now they have to account for certain ones whereas I'm assuming what you're saying is where you have to lean a little heavier on one or two weapons. And as long as you take them out of the game, then they become more one-dimensional. You got to give a lot of confidence and credit to the guys who have stepped up when we need our weapons to. And I think it's going to show throughout our season and pay big dividends, especially later on in the year, that we can win in multiple ways, not only offensively, defensively, or special teams, but with any given situation, whether it be in the run game, the play action game, in the pass game, whether it's with the wide receivers, whether it's a pass game with the running backs, or even the tight ends. I mean, that's when you start becoming a dynamic offense. And that also is a tribute to our coaches putting us in the right place, right time, and our players trusting them and being fundamentally sound and understanding the offense and knowing what to do and how to do it.
Certainly the Packers have weapons, as we talked to Mike Clemens NFL on Twitter. But also the offensive line has been holding up. There was some shuffling around at the beginning of the season, but we haven't talked about it too much because whatever they're doing, Mike, it's working.
Yeah, you know, the plan in the spring was Brian Bulaga, okay, we're not going to re-sign him. By the way, he's missed a couple of games with the Chargers now with some kind of a back injury. So, you know, that's how that went.
Yeah.
So we bring in Rick Wagner, the former Badger, West Dallas native, all those years with the Lions. He could play right tackle. And you got Billy Turner at right guard. Well, Lane Taylor had a great camp. He wins the right guard position. So, you know, and then Billy Turner's got a knee injury, which makes it tricky coming out of camp and getting into the start of the regular season. You see number 71, Rick Wagner, in there. And I'm telling you, some of these assistant coaches, these young assistants that LaFleur's got, are really impressive, man. Nathaniel Hackett. And then this offensive line coach, Adam Stenovich, who was a player for, you know, a cup of coffee with the Packers, and then has become this offensive line kind of guru. He's like 39 years old, had some time with the 49ers and some other teams. This guy is really sharp. And what I'm really impressed is Aaron Jones is so smart when it comes to the X's and O's. And he's told me, he's not talking about his running back coach, Ben Sermons, who's a good guy, but they keep on talking about Stenovich. The offensive line coach has done so much for their running game. And so I asked Stenovich last night about, you know, are you like in charge of the running game? Are you like the running game offensive coordinator? He said, no. He says, we work collectively. Me and Luke Getsky, quarterback coach, Nathaniel, the offensive coordinator. But I do come up with a lot of information on what's happening in the box, what the read should be for the center and for Aaron Rodgers and for the backs when they look up and see things are lining up. So then I said, okay, so here's the thing. I understand that Lane Taylor won the right guard job, but why is Billy Turner at right tackle instead of Rick Wagner? Did that have to do with the fact that you had no spring OTAs and mini camps? So, you know, anybody that was here last year, that was an advantage?
I think that definitely had a huge part in it, especially with the limited offseason. Just getting guys that are kind of know the expectation and know exactly what we're trying to do up front and have banked reps. I think that's huge. There's no doubt about that. And I always felt, you know, coaching Billy the last 2 years, I thought his best position was tackle. So, you know, when the opportunity came up, I thought, you know, that this would be the best spot for him.
Packers Buccaneers this weekend, talking with Mike Clemens here, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the Fan. By the way, Aaron Jones will be on the big show today at 3:30. So make sure you catch that live. We'll have some highlights tomorrow with what Aaron Jones has to say. The Buccaneers, they're a little banged up. Look at the offense. Mike Evans did not practice yesterday, dealing with an ankle injury. Chris Godwin, another of their receivers. Scotty Miller also limited. Some of their running backs limited.
A lot of limited guys.
They're pretty banged up, and it's led to Tom Brady trying to figure out who the hell some of these receivers are.
Yeah, and then on their defense, you know, the Vita Vita 350-pound nose tackle. This would be like losing Kenny Clark for the season. Broke a leg toward the end of that loss to the Bears last week on Thursday night. So, you know, they still got JPP, the guy who beat Brady one time for a Super Bowl, Jason Pierre-Paul. And there's this Shaquille Barrett, who's an outside linebacker. That's a guy that they're going to have to watch. He can be get in the backfield. And then they got Sue, you know, Ndamukong Suh. He's still part of this team as a defensive end. But Bruce Arians, you know, we're on the conference call with him yesterday. And, you know, be careful for what you wish for. So you bring in Tom Brady, 43 years old, but then it's in the middle of a pandemic. So you don't have an off season with that guy. And, you know, Bruce was talking about, you know, when you draft a rookie quarterback, you tell him everything that he needs to know. When you bring in a veteran, like when he brought in Carson Palmer out with the Cardinals, he said, you got to find out what the veteran wants. You got to find out what these, you know, you got to cater to them. And that makes it even more difficult when they didn't have their off season together. So that's kind of an issue because Brady's still trying to hook up with, you know, his receivers and getting timing down, particularly these backups. Another thing is, you know, the Brady leadership factor. You know, when a center headbutts a bear long after the whistle, and then he's there scolding and screaming at this guy on the sidelines, you know, this ain't New England. This is a new team. Maybe there's a different dynamic there, Tom. And then he ends up, you know, forgetting it's fourth down and screwing that up. Now, he's since apologized for that. He's supposed to talk today, Tom Brady. And then they've got a lot of penalties on this team, which is frustrating Brady. But, yeah, they're getting flagged a lot. So Bruce Arians has got all these little problems besides the injury list. And now here's another question that came up yesterday on the teleconference.
Hey, Bruce, drops are an unofficial statistic, but there are a lot of national football stat websites out there that have the Bucs leading the league in drop passes this year. The living legend like Tom Brady throwing your backs, tight ends and receivers, the ball. Are you surprised there hasn't been more accountability among your players in catching more passes?
I don't know who the hell makes up these stats. I don't see us dropping the ball that much. We had a game where we did, but I don't put any stock in it. Our guys can catch, and we don't say shit about it.
I love how all these coaches, like, hate stats, even though it's not like we're making up numbers.
No. Bruce, we're watching the game, man. I mean, you know, we're waiting for Tom Brady to start complaining about it, but, you know, that's not his way. But that's another problem with these guys, too, because Brady hasn't had that much time with them. He's just finishing up his preseason. So, you know, Bruce Arians, he's got a lot of things to take care of, and now, right now, he's going up against probably the hottest team in the NFC, 325 Sunday afternoon, Raymond James Stadium. 16,000 seats, they're selling. You know what? Right now, they're having a hard time selling all those tickets.
Well, I know two people that have tickets, my mom and dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they live in Florida. They're about 45 minutes south of Tampa.
Well, they'll be there.
I talked to them last night, and they said, hey, we're going to see two Hall of Famers this week. And I said, yeah, me too, Dad. I know the Packers play the Buccaneers. And he said, no, we're going. I said, what?
Wow.
I said, he said something about how they have this, they have all these instructions. I'll have to talk to him more, and I think we're going to talk to him on Monday, too, once he's there, to know what it's like as a fan right now. But he's going to be there with my mom, and they have a section where they're, like, supposed to be. He says there's more entrances. So I just it's interesting. I mean, the first week that we saw an NFL game, we heard, oh, there was one Chiefs fan that tested positive or whatever. But I haven't heard much. It is distance. It is outside. And as long as you stay away from other people, it seems like it could work. I know that I like watching games better when there are people in the stands. I can tell you that. You're going, so I'm interested to get that feedback too.
Yeah, well, and listen, I'm a COVID safety guy. I also know that we got to find ways to function in the pandemic. I trust the league, as you know, because I cover the Vikings game as well. I mean, there's, you know, you go through this protocol. You go through a testing tent, and they take your temperature, and there's questions, and there's distancing, and you've got a face mask on the entire time, and the place looks spotless, and it's, you know, kind of a ghost town. And then even when, you know, Raymond James seats about 65,000 for a football game, 75,000 if they've got a concert there. But honestly, I think your folks, without the tailgating, if you just get out of your car and you go through the gates and those kinds of things, and then there's plenty of spacing, and these they're trying to keep these stadiums as clean as they possibly can. You know, it should be a safe experience. But I think it's interesting, though, is that, you know, as of this morning, the news in Tampa is like, they haven't been able to sell all these tickets. Even in crazy Florida, where one minute you see stories that, you know, there's 1,000 people at a pool party, but the next minute they don't really want to go to the stadium and watch the Buccaneers.
Well, yeah, and even if you have plans to go, like I take that road trip every year. This would have been my 14th straight year. We are not having a trip. Even if we were going to go, you might not know until game day if the game's actually going to be played. And so some of these stadiums that are going to allow fans, and I know the Packers are going to Houston and Indy, if you're a fan and you want to travel, first of all, you got to get over that part of it, but then are you even sure the game's going to get played? So it's just, it's nuts right now.
Right. So, you know, I think my biggest hurdle is just the airport, right? Getting through the airport,
yeah.
The security on the plane and all that. And then after that, I feel good about the situation.
Well, be safe. Good luck. And we look forward to your coverage on our social media sites, the post-game show, and when we talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate
Mike
it, Bart.
Clemens, appreciate you. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, that's fine. You can breathe. Great Midwest Bank is going to help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com.
Dak's one of the most prepared people at this juncture that I've met. I'm not just talking about football players. He covers the gambit of trying to be ready to go. And all of that goes through your mind.
That's Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys and their GM. And I think he's also like the vice president to himself. Either way, Jerry Jones was on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. They are a sister station of ours. People do forget that. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan here in Milwaukee, 12:50 a.m. And I like to think that I'm a very accessible NFL owner. I've given out my phone number countless times. I have some people texting me at like 11:30 at night, memes of something to tell Horvath. I mean, I'm asleep. But I appreciate your feedback. I'm on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I'll DM with you. I'm very accessible. I'm an NFL owner. I own a share of the Green Bay Packers, and I'm very accessible. But Jerry Jones has always been, he's been an owner longer than me, and he's been more accessible than me. So I thought it would be a fun treat, because I'm having some problems as an NFL owner. I thought it'd be a treat for you guys to kind of listen into our conversation. I called Jerry last night after the show. I'm having issues with talking about the NFL draft, because I keep bringing it up, even though the Packers are 4-0. I keep bringing up the draft because I see what happens in the NFL, and I want those guys on the Packers. Yet because the Packers had one good month, nobody wants to think about that draft. So I wanted to call another owner and get his thoughts on what I should do. And Jerry, I'm getting criticized. I do everything for these people, and I'm still getting criticized. It's like I'm the villain.
Well, I've been there before.
The problem, you know, thanks, Jerry. The problem this week is we're talking with Jerry Jones. The problem this week is not a lot of juicy Packer stuff going on, and I don't want to be the negative guy. I really hate the draft. I want to talk about it, but I don't want to alienate people and have them think, well, Bart and Horvath, we like them, but if he's going to talk about the draft so much, I'm going to tune out. I don't want them to think of me different going forward.
This does impact expectations, and it could impact the reality. On the other hand, this is a different year. And if you've ever had one that you could approach in an unorthodox way, this is it.
Well, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. I just want that reassurance that I can talk about some of these things that bother me. And we do have to be unorthodox. The Packers are 4-0 at this point, and there's really not much to complain about. And I can only play David Bakhtiari from The Big Show so many times before people get tipped off that I'm really not doing any work. So I have something I'm passionate about, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I do appreciate that. Since I have you, just a couple other questions for you. I don't know if you heard. I was feeling sick over the weekend. Now, it was just a cold, but I didn't think I had COVID, but...
Yeah, I would hope, well, you got it.
Oh, well, my kid was sick. You know, these kids are cesspools. Do you have any well wishes for my kid, at least?
I don't have any. I really don't have any. I don't at all.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Hey, who are your favorite announcers on TV right now?
Aikman, Romo.
Yeah, I figured you'd say that. Any good things to say about Chris Collinsworth kid, Jack? He's been on TV a lot.
None.
Chatting with Jerry Jones, a fellow owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm an owner of the Green Bay Packers. One other thing, and I know that, you know, you may have experienced this before. Horvat and I love football Sundays. And one of the problems that we're having is on Sunday morning, some of our coworkers like to try to talk to us about like guests or what we're doing. And these texts come in 7-8 in the morning. I mean, I just want to get up and enjoy my day. I don't want to think about my coworkers.
It's just the last thing you want to think about, and it's the most challenging thing you have to deal with.
I know Horvey's been complaining about this to pretty much anyone that will listen. Did you talk to Horvat about people annoying him on Sunday mornings?
I did speak with him. I just so sorry for the circumstances. And was well aware of all of the things that could be going through his mind, seriously, and felt it with him.
Yeah, I think maybe just turn off our phone. It doesn't seem like we can stop it at this point, so I'm glad that you reached out to him, though. Hey, I got your text, Jerry Jones. You noticed that I haven't really tweeted much the last month. I'm having a really hard time dealing with the pros and cons of social media and if it's a benefit to my life, both personally and professionally.
Nothing positive about it. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah. All right, Jerry. Always good to talk to you. We'll be in touch. Can I get a, how about them Cowboys?
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers holding practice to get ready for their road trip to Tampa Sunday, 3:25. The Buccaneers offense features receivers like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller. Now, Green Bay's Kevin King missed practice yesterday with a quadricep. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers asked about defensive back Jair Alexander and how the 23-year-old is doing.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I think he's got a great disposition. I'm not afraid of going up against number one receivers, which can't be said about every corner maybe that we've had around here.
The network's billing this game as two Hall of Famers, Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. What do those matchups mean to players? Packers wide receiver Davante Adams.
At the end of the day, I don't really care if it's Nate Peterman or if it's Tom Brady on the other side, honestly, just because that has nothing to do with what I'm doing. I'd say probably one of the last things in the world that I'm worried about is who's playing quarterback on the other team.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, again, Aaron Jones today, 3:30 p.m. on the Wendy's Big Show. Catch that live on your AM radio or everywhere on the radio.com app. It is free to download. It is free to use. And not to discourage you from binging our podcast, one guy once told me that from Friday to Monday, he listened to our Friday show 3 times over the weekend.
Really?
And at first I was really flattered, and then I thought, then I felt bad.
For him?
Yeah.
Yeah. The same show?
Yeah.
That must have been a good one then.
I mean, we put out some outstanding content.
See, yeah.
Sometimes twice.
I can't listen or watch anything multiple times anymore, except for Goodfellas and The Departed. For some reason, I own both movies, yet anytime they're on like A&E or FX, I watch both of them, even though they're the edited versions. I have the versions where they could actually swear with the violence, the R-rated versions. Yet anytime those two movies are on TV, I watch them in their entirety, and I have no idea why.
So like, I don't want to discourage you from doing that. I want you to listen to us. And that's, oh, you only want us to listen to you. Yeah, that's my job.
Right.
But on the radio.com app, if you do want to explore a little bit, there are other great features. For example, now there are the debut episode of Charlie and Dixie, Two Chicks is out.
Is that was released? That dropped?
Yeah, kids say? This is with Charlie and Dixie, the TikTok sisters.
Yeah.
So they're available now.
Okay, I'm in.
On the podcast.
I got to get caught up on my Zach to the Future, but as soon as I finish the last episode where AC Slater finally commits to Iowa and Jesse has a little run-in with the diet pills, and then Johnny Dakota comes to town to try to get everybody to do marijuana, I'll definitely jump on the TikTok pod then.
There's a podcast called Hope in Darkness, the Josh Holt story.
Josh Holt, one of my favorite stories.
Of course, we were all captivated by that summer.
Yeah.
So to go back and relive the Josh Holt saga, it's just fantastic. There is the National Parks Traveler podcast.
Yeah.
On radio.com. So this is good, too. Like, a lot of people are traveling not by air, but by land.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to, like, let's say you're going to go to the Blue Ridge Music Center. Well, why not spend 42 minutes listening to a guy who's already been there tell you about what to do?
Yeah. Seriously, that's a great idea, though, because I hate when I get somewhere and I've never been and, you know, you're just going off recommendations of other people. And like my wife is always just like, well, Kelly from work said that we should go apple picking on a college football Saturday. Her husband said it's actually really fun and a lot of men do it. And then like 5 minutes into it, I wanted to take all the apples and throw them at Kelly's husband for recommending the apple farm.
Are you looking for a kids friendly podcast?
I am actually.
How about Story Pirates?
Okay. What's that one?
Hedgie in the Cloud Kingdom, Floor Juice.
Floor Juice?
Featuring Lily Cooper.
Okay. Yeah.
The radio.com app. Free to download, free to listen to. Knock yourselves out today. Be safe. We're back tomorrow at 5.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.